Good morning and welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, sitting in the driver's seat to work our way through this Wednesday, this hump day. And looking at stories that have broken on the news in the last 24 hours or so and talking about this, that, and varied other things. I hope you're doing well today, wherever you may be listening. And I hope that if you're listening on a delayed basis, as in a podcast version of the show, I hope you're doing well wherever you may be and whenever you may be listening. We are live on Facebook, and I'm sorry, I'm a little bit distracted. I keep thinking about something that happened yesterday. I did something very simple. I made a comment in social media about something, and the insanity is just amazing. Anyway, I'll get into that in just a little while. Also, during the pre-show music, I was sitting here scanning through Twitter, looking at the insanity that is social media. And the responses to what happened yesterday on Capitol Hill when Candace Owens stood up to the Democrats, she just didn't take nothing off of them and stood up. It's just amazing. We'll get into that in a little while as well. I have the audio of what she had to say up front and how she responded to a rather sleazy, slimy, underhanded, despicable attempt to demean her credibility. That's all coming this morning on the Daily Perspective. And let's see. Oh, I told you yesterday I had a doctor's visit and everything that it entailed, just as a heads up, everything, he's just happy as he can be. Said, well, I just won't bother you anymore. Just get out of here. So all is good. All is good. And that's good news. Yay. Is there anything else? No, nothing on a personal note, I don't think. So let's go ahead and dive right into things. Bernie Sanders, who a lot of deluded people believe would make a good president, has decided to go against the grain of the Democrat Party and actually appear in a town hall on Fox News. This is happening, I believe it's this coming Monday night. Now, he has spoken about his decision, and he's getting some grief for it, but he may be doing something wise here, but still, let's just dive into this. This is an article from Independent Journal Review, IJR, IJR.com. The 2020 presidential candidate's known for his support of socialism, but claimed during an interview with the Huffington Post Monday that it's important to reach out to those who have different beliefs. Quote, for better or for worse, and it is for worse, for whatever reason, you know, Fox has a huge viewing audience. And to simply say that we're not going to talk to millions of people who watch that network, I don't think is smart. When I go on Fox, what I will say is, look, many of you voted for Donald Trump, but he lied to you. We'll come back to that. While he's willing to speak with the network, Sanders was outspoken about their differences. When asked if the network is an offshoot of the Trump administration's propaganda, he did not shy away from giving his opinion. Quote, in most respects, I think it is.
Wow.
However, during an interview on The Daily Show over the weekend, Sanders spoke about his positive experience with the network during the last election, saying, however, in the last campaign, I did a town meeting with a fellow named Brett Baer, who did it very fairly. He did it straightforwardly. Believe me, we went over the ground rules beforehand, and they kept their word. To me, it's important to distinguish Fox News from the many millions of people who watch Fox News. So, now, remember, the DNC has announced they will not work with Fox News for the presidential primary debates. That's a decision some are questioning due to how close the 2016 presidential election was. While it's uncertain if Fox News' audience will be receptive to Sanders' ideas, on April 15th, the presidential candidate believes it's important to have the opportunity to have them heard. I got news for you, Bernie. The Fox News audience is watching you for entertainment value, and to see how often you lie. Let's back up to one of his quotes. To me, it's important to distinguish Fox News from the many millions of people who watch Fox News. What do you mean, Bernie? Do you mean that Fox News was credible and treated you fairly, so you give them a pass, but the people who watch Fox News are morons? Is that what you mean? I think that's what you mean. I really do. Let's back up to that other one. When I go on Fox, what I will say is, many of you voted for Donald Trump, but he lied to you. Really? Mr. Sanders, your entire political philosophy is a lie. Your entire political outlook, the way you believe things should be, is all based in a fantasy, a delusion. Socialism is a massive failure every time it's tried. Socialism has contributed to the misery of millions upon millions of people around the world. Socialism, when it finally achieves its final goal of communism, has murdered millions of people around the world. Mr. Sanders, there is no good form of socialism. There is no good version of your political philosophy. It doesn't exist. The Danish nations that you refer to, they have a market economy, Mr. Sanders. They're not socialists. They have high tax rates, and they have government programs, but they are a market economy. Also, Mr. Sanders, without capitalism, socialism could not exist. Because socialism must have money, and money comes from capitalism, from the private sector. And when you finally bleed the private sector dry, your programs fail. That's what's happening in Venezuela. And yes, I will use Venezuela as my example, because about 20 years ago, the people bought this same lie. They, in a democratic election, voted to transform their country's way of life into a socialist economy. And in doing so, they gave their government permission to replace every competent person in any place of leadership, whether it be in the government or in industry, with party loyalists who were not competent. And as a result, your thriving oil industry, the if not the largest, the second largest in the world, began to crumble. And when the marketplace around the world began to shift and change, the incompetent socialists who were put in charge didn't know how to manage what they were working with. And now the people in Venezuela are starving. They're fleeing the country. They're looking for asylum elsewhere. They're eating out of dumpsters, dump trucks, hunting at the zoo, eating dogs on the street. They're starving because socialism never succeeds. So, Mr. Sanders, everything you stand for is a lie. And now we know, those of us who've been paying attention already knew this, but now more people will know, if they choose to pay attention, that you're actually very, very wealthy. Because Tuesday, Senator Bernie Sanders revealed some very bad news for his campaign. Bernie's a millionaire. Bernie Sanders, who has been pressured to turn over his tax returns for the last 10 years, finally acquiesced, announcing that he would do so and admitting that he is, in fact, worth more than $1 million. He told the New York Times, April 15th coming, we want to release 10 years of tax returns. April 15th, 2019 will be the 10th year, so I think you'll see him. He then added, contrasting his own wealth with that of President Trump, quote, not being a billionaire, not having investments in Saudi Arabia, wherever he has investments all over the world, mine will be a little bit more boring. He then concedes, I wrote a best-selling book. If you write a best-selling book, you could be a millionaire too. So, not content just to admit the fact that he is more wealthy than anyone under his preferred kind of government could possibly become, he diverts and takes a poke at the billionaire, Donald Trump, a man who actually succeeded in the world of business, a man who is a success and who has elevated thousands of other people successfully who learned from him how to do what he does. Bernie Sanders has never had a real job in his entire life. He doesn't understand what it means to manage a multi-billion dollar business. He doesn't understand what it means to propel other people to success. All he understands is how to bitch and moan about the government we have and complain to the people who will listen to him because they're perpetually unhappy as well, and then promise them that his preferred form of government will deliver them from their unhappiness, which is nothing but a lie. The same lie that's been told by every socialist pitching socialism to every population that's ever embraced it and then suffered through it and watched their loved ones starve to death. So Bernie Sanders is a millionaire. I wonder how many people who follow him and adore him will be fazed by the fact that he is wealthy and that he gained his wealth purely because he lives in a capitalist nation. He owns 3 homes. Yet, when it comes down to the hard facts of what he believes, do you think he would give any of those homes up to allow other people to live there? Do you think Bernie Sanders, when it really comes down to it, would share the wealth? Do you think Bernie Sanders would spread the wealth around, as Barack Obama said, would be good for our country? No. No, he wouldn't. Bernie says anybody can get ahead by writing a bestseller. The truth about this is Bernie didn't build that. He's spent his entire life on the public dole. He's used public resources to build his notoriety. He then used that notoriety to sell a book predicated on the supposed injustices of the American free market system. What a fraud this man is. What a fraud. And those who embrace what he's selling, they're choosing to ignore what a fraud this man is. And I'll tell you something. If you try to wake him up on your social media, you try to tell him, yeah, Bernie Sanders is a millionaire. He's a fraud. He owns 3 houses. Everything he has, he owes to capitalism. Everything he has, he owes to capitalism. Because if it weren't for the capitalist system, the free market system that America uses to energize its economy, Bernie Sanders would be just another whining, complaining, broke politician on the local level. He owes everything to the free market system. Now, isn't that a sweet irony? God love him. He is a bald-faced con man, a liar. He's selling snake oil to the masses. And it'll be entertaining Monday night to see how his little town hall meeting goes on Fox News. Will they hold his feet to the fire? Will they shine the bright light of truth on him? Or will they just coddle him? It is Fox News. They're more likely to take the honest path than the other networks. But it remains to be seen. Bernie Sanders is a millionaire. That's something you should just post in social media. That one line, Bernie Sanders is a millionaire. So, how does that affect your outlook on life? Up next, we'll look at what Candace Owens been up to on Capitol Hill as the Daily Perspective continues. Thanks for listening to the Daily Perspective. I really appreciate you being there. Wherever there may be, thanks a lot. I really do thank you a lot. You know, I appreciate those who are as well on the Daily Perspective newsletter. You can subscribe to the newsletter. The simple way is to go to my website. Go to markcongleton.com. It's all one word, markcongleton.com. Over on the right-hand side of the page, in the right column, you'll see right there at the top, there's a sign-up form. I don't ask for much, just your name and your email address. You'll get an email it's making sure it's really you and that you have decided to subscribe. It's called a double opt-in process, and we do that for reasons I explained a couple of weeks ago, that it's just a legal thing. It's against the law to send you something to sign you up for a list that you didn't subscribe to, so we don't. And I'm speaking we, like there's more than one of me here. So I don't do that. I don't send out stuff that you don't ask for. So you have to double opt in. You have to fill out the form, and then you have to respond to the email. And once you've jumped that hurdle, you'll start getting the Daily Perspective newsletter. And it goes out Monday through Friday. What you'll get is the links to the stories that I talk about during the podcast, during the live show on Facebook Live, and some stuff that I don't get to, because sometimes the stack is a lot deeper than other days. Some days it's just there's a whole lot more stuff available. Today, honestly, to be honest with you, it's kind of thin. There's not a heck of a lot of stuff to talk about, but we're going to dive through it anyway. You'll get everything that I get to during this hour, and if there's anything left over, you'll get that too. Everything that I had prepped for the Daily Show comes to your inbox every day. Plus, from time to time, the squirrels in my brain start getting active, and I start typing, and you'll get something as a bonus. So there you go. So sign up today. Go to markcongleton.com and become a member of the Daily Perspective newsletter family. Well, Candace Owens went to Capitol Hill, and she rattled some cages yesterday. She had quite a bit to say, and I want to play you what she had to say as her opening statement. This is about 6.5 minutes long. It's well worth listening to, so turn up the sound and have a listen to what Candace Owens had to say to this panel of smug, condescending Democrats.
White supremacy, racism, white nationalism, words that once held real meaning, have now become nothing more than election strategies. Every 4 years, the black community is offered handouts and fear. Handouts and fear. Reparations and white nationalism. This is the Democrat preview. There isn't a single adult today that in good conscience would make the argument that America is a more racist or a more white nationalist society than it was when my grandfather was growing up. And yet we're hearing these terms sent around today because what they want to say is that brown people need to be scared, which seems to be the narrative that we hear every 4 years right ahead of a presidential election. Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Mr. Collins, thank you for having me here today. I received word on my way in that many of the journalists were confused as to why I was invited, and none of them knew that I myself was the victim of a hate crime when I was in high school. That's something that very few people know about me, because the media and the journalists and the left are not interested in telling the truth about me because I don't fit the stereotype of what they like to see in black people. I'm a Democrat, I support the President of the United States, and I advocate for things that are actually affecting the black community. I'm honored to be here today in front of you all because the person sitting behind me is my 75-year-old grandfather. I've always considered myself to be my grandfather's child, and I mean to say that my sense of humor, my passion, and my work ethic all comes from the man that is sitting behind me. My grandfather grew up on a sharecropping farm in the segregated South. He grew up in an America where words like racism and white nationalism held real meaning under the Democrat Party's Jim Crow laws. My grandfather's first job was given to him at the age of 5 years old, and his job was to lay tobacco out to dry in an attic in the South. My grandfather has picked cotton, and he has also had experiences with a Democrat terrorist organization of that time, the Ku Klux Klan. They would regularly visit his home and they would shoot bullets into it. They had an issue with his father, my great-grandfather. During my formative years, I had the privilege of growing up in my grandfather's home. It's going to shock the committee, but not once, not in a single breath of a conversation did my grandfather tell me that I could not do something because of my skin color. Not once did my grandfather hold a gripe against the white man. I was simply never taught to view myself as a victim because of my heritage. I learned about faith in God, family, and hard work. Those were the only lessons of my childhood. There isn't a single adult today that in good conscience would make the argument that America is a more racist or a more white nationalist society than it was when my grandfather was growing up. And yet we're hearing these terms sent around today because what they want to say is that brown people need to be scared, which seems to be the narrative that we hear every 4 years right ahead of a presidential election. Here are some things we never hear. 75% of the black boys in California don't meet state reading standards. In inner cities like Baltimore, within 5 high schools and 1 middle school, not a single student was found to be proficient in math or reading in 2016. The single motherhood rate in the black community, which was at 23% in the 1960s when my grandfather was coming up, is at a staggering 74% today. I am guessing there will be no committee hearings about that. There are more black babies aborted than born alive in cities like New York, and you have Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo lighting up buildings to celebrate late-term abortions. I could go on and on. My point is that white nationalism does not do any of those things that I just brought up. Democrat policies did. Let me be clear. The hearing today is not about white nationalism or hate crimes. It's about fear-mongering, power, and control. It's a preview of a Democrat 2020 election strategy, same as the Democrat 2016 election strategy. They blame Facebook, they blame Google, they blame Twitter. Really, they blame the birth of social media, which has disrupted their monopoly on minds. They called this hearing because they believe that if it wasn't for social media, voices like mine would never exist. That my movement Blexit, which is inspiring black Americans to leave the Democrat Party, would have never come about. And they certainly believe that Donald Trump would not be in office today. Looking on the next thing to focus on now that the Russian collusion hoax has fallen apart. What they won't tell you about the statistics and the rise of white nationalism is that they've simply changed the data set points by widening the definition of hate crimes and upping the number of reporting agencies that are able to report on them. What I mean to say is that they are manipulating statistics. The goal here is to scare blacks, Hispanics, gays, and Muslims into helping them censor dissenting opinions, ultimately into helping them regain control of our country's narrative, which they feel that they lost. They feel that President Donald Trump should not have beat Hillary. If they actually were concerned about white nationalism, they would be holding hearings on Antifa, a far-left, violent, white gang who determined one day in Philadelphia in August that I, a black woman, was not fit to sit in a restaurant. They chased me out. They yelled race traitor to a group of black and Hispanic police officers who formed a line to protect me from their ongoing assaults. They threw water at me. They threw eggs at me. And the leftist media remained silent on it. If they were serious about the rise of hate crimes, they may perhaps be examining themselves and the hate that they have drummed up in this country. Bottom line is that white supremacy, racism, white nationalism, words that once held real meaning, have now become nothing more than election strategies. Every 4 years, the black community is offered handouts and fear. Handouts and fear. Reparations and white nationalism. This is the Democrat preview. Of course, society is not perfectible. We've heard testimony of that today. There are pockets of evil that exist, and those things are horrible, and they should be condemned. But I believe the legacy and the ancestry of black Americans is being insulted every single day. I will not pretend to be a victim in this country, and I know that makes many people on the left uncomfortable. I want to talk about real issues in Black America. I want to talk about real issues in this country and real concerns. The biggest scandal, this is my last sentence, in American politics is that Democrats have been conning minorities into belief that we are perpetual victims, all but ensuring our failure. Racial division and class warfare are central to the Democrat Party platform. They need blacks to hate whites, the rich to hate the poor, and soon enough it'll be the tall hating the short.
The time of the witness has expired, Ms. Clark.
Well, she left nothing on the table, did she? She threw everything right at them. She told them the truth about what they're doing. That what they're doing every 4 years is making black people afraid of white people. They're stirring up and fanning the flames of envy, jealousy, hatred. They're lying to the American people about the growth of white nationalism because they are, and she put it very well, they're playing with the data set. They're changing how they measure things. Once again, misrepresenting things for their advantage, which is what the left always does for their political advantage. She made some stark contrasts between the way things used to be in this country and the way they truly are now. She did so very effectively. I've shared with you in the past about how as a child, my mother would take us to visit my grandmother in South Alabama in a rural community just outside of Evergreen, where black farmers and white farmers lived close to each other. And we would go visiting and take pies, cakes, desserts to their homes, and they would come to ours. And as kids, we would play with their kids. They would play with us. The South got over racism a long time ago. The people who haven't gotten over racism are the people who benefit from it the most. The Democrats. They use racism to their advantage. And thanks to people like Candace Owens, black people are waking up and walking away from the Democrat Party. This is the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Wow, we've made it to Wednesday. We've made it to the middle of the week. That means that the weekend's just a couple more days away. You can make it. I have confidence in you. I know. You can be strong. You'll be fine. Hang in there. We'll be fine. You and me, we'll fight the pollen together. Come on. Oh, have another cup of coffee. Things will be fine. We listened to Candace Owens' opening statement before this kangaroo court that the liberals in the Congress set up, and she had some very strong things to say, some very strong things to say, and she unmasked them for what they really are. They are just a bunch of snake oil salesmen taking political advantage of something to stir up hatred and fear among people. And as we went to break, I was talking about how things used to be when I was a kid, and that is that everybody respected each other. We got along. Even out in the country where liberals would say that racial problems are probably the deepest, out in the country, outside of a little town called Evergreen, Alabama, back in the 60s, race relations were just fine. You could see each other at the the grocery store. It was the A&P. I'll never forget the A&P. You could see these families together at the A&P, and everybody would stop and ask how Mom and Em's doing. We'd have conversations and say, hey, we need to come see you. I've got a great recipe for this. I'll bring you a pie. That's how life really was. People in the South got over race problems a long time ago. And people on the left profit from them. People like Al Sharpton profit from race issues, which is why he lies every day about racial injustice and racial problems. People like Jesse Jackson profit from racial unrest, which is why he does what Al Sharpton does. He lies every day about those issues. People like Jerry Nadler, Ted Lieu, the rest of these snake oil salesmen on this committee, they're lying about white nationalism and the fear. They're trying to make people afraid. And they do it, as Candace Owens said, every 4 years. When there's a presidential election, they demonize their opponents and paint them as evil people who want to destroy the black community and keep their boot on the neck of black America. When the truth of the matter is that without that fear and without that oppression, the Democrat Party wouldn't exist. They are the party of the KKK. They are the party of racial unrest. They are the party of racial inequality. And they sustain it because they benefit from it. And she exposed them for what they are. And as a response, that slime bag from California, Ted Lieu, played a recording of Candace Owens answering a question posed to her about nationalism, in specific about Germany and Hitler. Yet, he didn't play the entire recording. He didn't play the question which set up her response. The question was very important. Her response, in the light of that question, made sense. Standing on its own, it looks very troubling. And that is how liberals have been passing this recording around, without the question. They've just passed around what she had to say in response to the question. And I think you can understand how that would be. If you were in a situation where someone asked you a question about a touchy subject, and you answered in context with their question, and then they recorded the entire process but only played your answer to someone who didn't understand how that conversation actually went, that person would probably think you were a monster. But if they heard the question which prompted your answer, they would better understand why you chose the words you did. Ted Lieu, being the slimy politician that he is, didn't give Candace Owens that benefit. He just played her answer. The same recording which has been passed around by liberals in their little circle, in their little echo chamber, since it first appeared a few months ago. Well, fortunately, a Republican on the committee gave Candace Owens an opportunity to respond.
Ms. Owens, I'm sorry, we just started a recording. Would you like time to respond to that?
Yes, I think it's pretty apparent that Mr. Lieu believes that black people are stupid and will not pursue the full clip in its entirety. He purposely presented an extracted clip.
The witness will suspend for a moment. It is not proper to refer disparagingly or to a member of the committee. The witness will not do that again. Witness may continue.
Now, that was Jerry Nadler, who stopped her and accused her of calling Ted Lieu stupid, which is not what she did. What she said was that Ted Lieu believed black people were stupid. Now, Ted Lieu had referred to her as being something like despicable. But they didn't stop him from saying that. But Jerry Nadler gaveled her down and put her in her place. This uppity black girl had no business being saying anything disparaging about these gods on this council. Let's continue.
Sure. Even though I was called despicable.
Witness may not refer to a member of the committee as stupid.
I didn't refer to him as stupid. That's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. You didn't listen to what I said.
He clearly wasn't listening.
May I continue?
He just shrugged his shoulders. Yeah, whatever.
As I said, he is assuming that black people will not go pursue the full two-hour clip. And he purposefully extracted, he cut off, and you didn't hear the question that was asked of me. He's trying to present as if I was launching a defense of Hitler in Germany, when in fact, the question that was asked of me was pertaining to whether or not I believed that Hitler was whether or not I believed in nationalism, and that nationalism was bad. And what I responded to was that I do not believe that we should be characterizing Hitler as a nationalist. He was a homicidal, psychopathic maniac that killed his own people. A nationalist would not kill their own people. That is exactly what I was referring to in the clip, and he purposely wanted to give you a cut-up similar to what they do to Donald Trump to create a different narrative. That was unbelievably dishonest, and he did not allow me to respond to it, which is worrisome and should tell you a lot about where people are today in terms of trying to drum up narratives. By the way, I would like to also add that I work for Prager University, which is run by an Orthodox Jew. Not a single Democrat showed up to the embassy opening in Jerusalem. I sat on a plane for 18 hours to make sure that I was there. I'm deeply offended by the insinuation of revealing that clip without the question that was asked of me.
So, Ted Lieu took her statement out of context and presented it as something evil. And she didn't let him. And the look on his face as she exposed his sliminess for what it actually was is very telling. You should go look the clip up. If you're a newsletter subscriber, I'm giving you the link to the clip. I'm giving you the link to that video today, as well as her opening statement. So watch it, and watch his face. He is livid. He is very unhappy that this uppity young black woman is talking back to him and exposing him for the liar he actually is. He is not happy. And Nadler, when he interrupts her, it's clear that he has not been listening. He heard the word stupid and assumed that this uppity young black woman called Ted Lieu stupid. Well, how dare she call a member of his fine group of snake oil salespeople stupid? Who does she think she is? Doesn't she understand who we are? That's the attitude you're getting from these people, by the way. Well, yesterday on social media was entertaining as a result of this. There have been people who have posted all over the place. One guy posted in this. I saw this because a friend posted a comment underneath this particular post on Facebook. This fella posted a link to Ted Lieu playing the clip of Candace Owens' comments on Hitler to ridicule Republicans for inviting her to a hearing on nationalism. And the guy said, oh, this is brilliant. I'm in love with Ted Lieu. And a friend of mine responded that he says, sorry, all, but when she finally got a chance to respond, she ate Ted's lunch. And the liberals who follow this guy just shoot him up. And I responded, he played a deceptively edited recording and she exposed his dishonesty. And then a group of people decided, wow, let's put this guy in his place. They obviously looked me up, found out, they looked at my Facebook profile, and then began to ridicule me and accuse me of being an idiot. Wow, the recording was not deceptively edited. She made the statement. Yeah. And the statement was lifted out of context. Context is everything. Somebody said, wow, no one could ever tell you're a talk show host in Alabama. Wow, really? Intolerant much? Somebody just posted WWJD because I post the fact that I'm a Christ follower. I follow Jesus on my personal Facebook page. So you're trying to put me in my place? Is that what you're trying to do? Hey, do you have a problem with the truth? Not everything is fake. Yeah, but it's hard to tell when you're dealing with Democrats. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, sometimes humble host, and I really appreciate being there. Thanks to the Light Bank. You guys are guys and gals who are there and start things live each morning. I watch your comments go by. I have time to actually comment as in response while I'm doing it, but I watch your comments go by. You guys are great. Thanks a lot. And those of you who are listening via Time Machine, the podcast version, good to have you all here as well. Thanks a lot. Subscribe. Thanks for your friends. Thanks for listening wherever you may be. All right, now I'm flipping a coin between two different stories here, trying to figure out which one would be the best to bring to you because of the limited time. And I think probably it's going to go this way. Larry Elder is a talk show host from California. He has been in the talk show business for a long, long time. He's a conservative black man, and he's brilliant. He's just brilliant. And bless his heart, folks at Media Matters are very brilliant, and they have decided to take it down. And that's what Media Matters does, by the way. When you see a news organization quoting Media Matters, you need to understand that Media Matters is not an unbiased watchdog group. They are a leftist organization who seeks to undermine truth and credibility. So you just need to understand that. That's what's going on with them. Well, talk show host Larry Elder ripped into Media Matters, Media Matters for America, on Twitter yesterday because they misrepresented remarks he made earlier on Fox & Friends about slavery reparations. See, that's a hot topic today, reparations. One day we'll talk about that, but I just wonder, weren't 600,000 lives the blood of 600,000 Americans fighting with it? Wasn't that enough? Wasn't it? Mr. Elder, a black man, explained on the Fox News show, he opposes slavery reparations because he believes too much time has passed since slavery and that it's time to move on. He said, what about Obama? Obama's mother, her ancestors owned slaves. His father is from Kenya. That area of Africa was a hot point for slave trading on the part of Africans, enslaved by other Africans, and then sold to European and Arab slavers by African chieftains. Does Obama pay a check, or does he get a check? I mean, the whole thing is absolutely absurd. He's absolutely right. Toward the end of his segment, Mr. Elder argued that left-wing policies have made things worse for the black community, and that those policies are what need to be corrected. Quote, the welfare state has incentivized women to marry the government and allowed men to abandon their financial and moral responsibility. And Obama said a kid without a father is 5 times more likely to be poor, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in jail. Let's talk about what the welfare state has done to destabilize the black family. During slavery, a black kid was more likely to be born under a roof with his biological mother and biological father than today. That's the problem. Let's deal with that. And it's obvious that what he's targeting is government. Government has failed the black community. He's not saying we should go back to slavery. He's saying it's so bad now that it was better under slavery. That's what he was saying. It's so bad now that it was better when the black people were slaves. And that's a strong statement. Now, Media Matters, that they're a left-wing nonprofit group, framed Larry Elder's argument as saying black families were better off as slaves. That's disingenuous. It's dishonest. Flatly, it's a lie. And Larry Elder fired back for posting a fake headline. He said, I said no such thing. Watch and listen for yourself. And he includes the link so that people can watch and see what he actually said and frame it in the proper context. A lot of conservative folks also came to his defense. They also said Media Matters deliberately misrepresented his statements, which is just what they do. Dana Loesch from the NRA, she said they never retract anything, ever. It's nothing more than a backwater propaganda cesspool staffed by barely literate partisans. And she should know. She's been their target many, many times. Let's see, who else? Stephen Miller he said, reminder, this is a reminder that journalists like K-File, Darcy, and Stelter, you know him from CNN, routinely source and link to Media Matters as though it's legitimate news and not a Democrat smear machine. Wow. Let's see. And then Guy Benson said they are willfully dishonest hacks. And it's absolutely the truth. They are willfully dishonest hacks. So please remember that when Media Matters is quoted, that Media Matters is not in the business of telling the truth. Media Matters is a propaganda machine. They're in the business of spreading filtered information and slanting things to make them look as though they are credible. And they are anything but credible from their viewpoint. So keep that in mind. Moving along really quick, we got a couple of minutes here. You know, you may be aware that New Jersey back in June of last year passed a law that made the possession of large capacity magazines, they define that as magazines which hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition, they made those illegal, right? So what happened was the New Jersey legislature made thousands upon thousands of citizens of New Jersey criminals overnight. They made them criminals by passing a law against something which is perfectly acceptable and perfectly legal in the majority of the states in the United States of America. That law requires any New Jersey resident who currently owns such a magazine to either surrender it to law enforcement, modify it so it can no longer hold more than 10 rounds, destroy it, or sell it to an authorized dealer. Alternately, under certain circumstances, gun owners who possess these magazines that can't be modified can keep their magazines if they register them with the state. Failure to demonstrate compliance could result in a hefty fine and a prison sentence of up to 18 months. So, if you own a standard capacity magazine, which is not 10, but could be any number because they're standard capacity for rational, reasonable people, in the state of New Jersey, you could spend up to 18 months in prison just for owning it and not surrendering it to the government or not registering with the government. And it's completely understandable if you don't want to register with the government because registration is the first step towards confiscation. They can't confiscate if they don't know who has them. Once they know who has them, they can confiscate them. The law was challenged in court by the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, and it still passed. Bottom line, nobody, not one person has turned in a single magazine. Not one. Not one. Nobody. They've had all kinds of time. But gun owners in New Jersey understand their rights, and they understand that the government in New Jersey has passed an unconstitutional law, and they're not going to comply. So what will New Jersey do? Is New Jersey going to put thousands of residents, thousands of New Jersey citizens in prison for not complying with an unconstitutional law? Good for you, New Jerseyites. Way to think. Way to be Americans. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.